here on Community Comment today. Joining us on the program is Dodge County Board Chairman Dave Froehling. Dave, thank you so much for coming in today.
You're welcome. Pleasure to be here.
And again, Community Comment is brought to you by Professional Floor Covering and Abbey Design Center, located at 713 Park Avenue in Beaver Dam. They have an excellent selection of showers and tubs. Let their team help you design a shower you can unwind and relax in, from color and material choice to size and arrangement. There are a lot of design choices that need to be made before beginning the remodeling process. They also have glass enclosures. Converting to a shower with glass panels and doors is a great way to make your bathroom space feel bigger and add a sense of luxury. You can also turn your standard bathroom into a luxurious spa with a tub-to-shower conversion. A tub-to-shower conversion can also drastically improve the quality of life for those that have trouble fitting their legs up and over the wall of a standard tub. Tubs also built into stand-alone features. Again, Professional Floor Covering at 713 Park Avenue in Beaver Dam. You can check them out at proflr.com. Again, you're listening to Community Comments here on 95.3 WBEV. Our guest, Dodge County Board Chairman Dave Froehling, here on Community Comment today. And if you have a question for the Dodge County Board Chairman, you can call the program at 885-4446, or you can text questions in at 887-9595. Again, you can call 885-4446 or text 887-9595 if you have a question for our guest today with Dodge County Board Chairman Dave Froehling. And Dave, I selfishly wanted to bring you on because I have not been doing a very good job as a news reporter here for the greater Dodge County area, and have not been as tuned in as I would like to be with what has been happening on the Dodge County floor here last couple of months. Obviously, I don't believe there was a meeting in January or there was February. I think it was a light agenda, so kind of a light start to 2025, but there's still some important things that are happening at the Dodge County level here that we would like to discuss with our guest here today. But before we do that, I would like to just sort of spend just a very quick moment allowing you to discuss sort of your history on the Dodge County Board, just how long you've served, your steps. Obviously, you've been, this is your second 10 years as
second term as chair.
Term as Dodge County Board Chair. But just sort of talk about the district you represent and how long you've been on the board and just what your roles are as Dodge County Board Chairman and what you do.
Well, I was appointed to the board in 2003 when my neighbor Tom Finnell resigned. Been elected since. I actually live in the city of Watertown, but since I farm and I have a lot of rural interests, and so I am able to represent both the rural areas and the city areas. Been on the board for quite a few years. Spent a bunch of time as chair of finance and first vice chair of the board. And when Russell Kotke decided not to run for the board again, I decided to step up and become chair.
Great. And have you always had an interest in serving in local government and having this sort of role? It sounds like the passion is still there. You're still wanting to be a part of this. But is that something that you always saw yourself doing?
Yes. You have to get to a stage in life where your business or what you're doing allows you to do it.
And, right, yeah.
Before I actually sold the business, the farm equipment business, my staff had gotten to the point where I could actually take a little time and do this. And I had served in other things. I was president of the Wisconsin Farm Equipment Association and served on some committees through that. And then did some mentoring and stuff during the ag crisis.
Sure, so. Yeah, great.
But, the fire's still there too. I think everybody on the county board wants to make Dodge County and everybody with it and in it happier and in a better place. And sometimes we don't always agree on how that is, but everybody's there for the right reason, I think.
Fantastic. Again, our guest here on Dodge Community Comment today, Dodge County Board Chairman Dave Froehling, our guest here on Community Comment today. And there has been here just recently at the most recent Dodge County Board meeting discussions and votes on essentially what is called a master plan, which sounds very exciting. It sounds very official. But Dave, you'll do a much better job of explaining essentially kind of what a master plan is, and then we can maybe dive more into some of the specifics and what happened here at the most recent Dodge County Board meeting. But Dave, just if you don't mind, just starting off kind of an overview for us, what essentially is a master plan?
Well, the master plan is the next step. It's analyzing our facilities. We did a space needs study, so we know what the projected needs for different departments are going to be for the next 10 to 15 years. Now we need to look at the at our facilities and how efficient they are. We need a lot of renovation and upgrades to our Henry Dodge office building, and that's the thing that drove this study of the space needs and now the master plan, because we know we're either going to have to spend a lot of money in the building or replace it or move things around. And so we're bringing in outside architects and builders who will be able to give us actual costs of what different plans will be. We're expecting options, maybe three, maybe four options on how to do that, whether it's phased in and how to go about that. But we're excited to see what comes out of this.
Great. And when was the last time a real close look at the facilities of Dodge County was examined?
It's been a long time. Back when we did Clearview, I think, is really last. And so it's been quite some time.
Yeah. So you mentioned that really what spurred this initiative was the administration building there in Juneau, the Henry Dodge.
Well, the Henry Dodge building is what is the old Clearview building, where we have all of our human services now. We're not using the whole building. And so utilities and everything are quite expensive there. And we need a lot of upgrades to the ventilation systems and so forth. So we're either going to spend up to $10 million, maybe more, on that building, or we're going to vacate that building and do some other things.
And maybe we can dive into a little bit more specifics of just kind of what the financial plan is when it comes to these projects. I'm sure that's a big part of what has been already discussed and some of the other specific projects that this master plan will be looking to address here in the next couple of years. But we do have to take a brief break here. You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
This week's FFA Student of the Week, presented by Corey Oil and Mid-State Equipment, is Giselle Avila of Waterloo High School. The senior is the reporter for the Waterloo FFA, and her favorite ag-related class is vet science and large small animal care. After graduation, she plans on attending MATC to become a veterinary technician. Congratulations to Waterloo's Giselle Avila. She's this week's FFA Student of the Week, presented by Corey Oil and Mid-State Equipment.
Good goes beyond the sub. Join Jersey Mike's Wednesday, April 2nd, in support of the Beaverdam High School Green and Gold Scholarship Night. They will be graciously donating 50% of sales for the fundraiser. Stop by and enjoy some great subs while helping Jersey Mike support the worthy cause. Again, that's the Beaverdam High School Green and Gold Scholarship Fundraiser Night at Jersey Mike's in Beaverdam at 106 Francis Lane. See you there from 4 to 7 p.m. on April 2nd.
Satisfy all appetites with this week's deals at Beaverdam Food Pride. Family packs of 81% lean ground beef are $3.99 a pound, ideal for making burgers, tacos, or spaghetti that everyone will love. Sweeten things up with Driscoll's strawberries or raspberries, two for just $5. And Angus Pride boneless beef ribeye steaks sizzle at $14.99 a pound. Stock up on Food Pride bottled water, 24 packs, just $2.99. Plus, check your Perks app for the deals of the week. Make family mealtime easy and shop Beaverdam Food Pride. it's easier than ever to check your annual mammogram off your to-do list. Walk into Prairie Ridge Health in Columbus on the last Tuesday of any month to get your yearly mammogram. No appointment or referral needed. If you're over 40 years old and due for a yearly screening mammogram, just bring your insurance card and the name of your physician with you. Visit anytime between 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. on the last Tuesday of every month. Learn more about the walk-in program and confirm upcoming dates at prairieridge.health.
These are the happenings in your community. Thank you for joining this edition of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
Welcome back into today's Community Comment. Again, our guest here on the program is Dodge County Board Chairman Dave Froehling. If you have a question for our guest, that number again is 885-4446 if you want to call in and ask a question of Dodge County Board Chairman Dave Froehling here on Community Comment this morning. Dave, Community Comment's been at 1230 for decades, probably as long as you've been aware of it as well, and we now just have moved up to the 10 o'clock hour, so I've been used to saying good afternoon, which doesn't quite fit anymore, so I've been having to make that mental switch to say, all right, good morning or good early morning or early afternoon, late morning, I guess, is more accurate now, but it's been a bit of a hurdle for me to get used to.
But as a morning person, this is afternoon.
That's true. Yeah, if you're up early, this is mid-afternoon for a lot of people out there listening to us here today on 95.3 WBEV and watching on Daily Dodge TV on our YouTube page. We're talking again with Dodge County Board Chairman Dave Froehling here on Community Comment today. We are taking a look at essentially what's called a master plan study here on our program this afternoon. See, I just did it right there this afternoon, this morning here on Community Comment. And, you know, we would like to spend a few moments here just talking about, you mentioned in our first segment, essentially there were several proposals that were submitted to sort of highlight what the plan would look like and how that would adjust and change and how that process would look like. And Dave, if you don't mind, just kind of talk about what that proposal process, how that went, what that looks like, and how did the county board come to a decision on who to move forward with?
Yeah, our purchasing agent put out a request for proposals and we ended up having six proposals. And what we do when we get the proposals, we open those and we look at the proposals and rate them before we know what the cost is. We don't open their bid until after we rate them. And this was a little unusual in that when we rated them, the two highest rating ones as we rated them, then when we opened the proposals, they were also the two least expensive, and that seldom happens. So we did interview the two lowest cost and highest rated, and ended up with the Venture Architects out of Milwaukee, and they work with the Samuels Group for pricing. So what we should get out of this, we'll have a kickoff meeting within the next week or so, and they'll do their work and come back to us by July with proposals, ideas, different options on how to move forward. How to phase, maybe, you know, we're not going to be able to change everything at once, but we're hoping to, if we build anything new, it would be smaller and much more efficient. And so we're looking at operating costs and maintenance, obviously.
Yeah. And you mentioned briefly there that how it sounds like is that you see all the proposals and then you rate them on a scale of what goes into that rating scale, essentially?
You know, professionalism, references, projects they've done in the past.
Sure, yeah.
Venture did Waukesha County's buildings. They did Marathon County, we checked those. They were very happy with them. And in our proposals, ranged from $58,800, which was Venture, to $300,000. Okay. So they were all over the board when we opened, but we felt this would be our best option. So.
Yeah, and you've been on the county board a long time. How you mentioned the rarity of is when you have a lot of times they call RFPs, requests for proposals. How often is it that you see your highest rated RFP often be the lowest rated bid that comes in as well? Is that, I'm sure that doesn't happen.
It's the first time since I've been part of going through the proposals.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's kind of neat to see that happen here. Again, with our guest, Dodge County Board Chairman Dave Froehling on Community Comment today. Obviously, this was discussed at the county board here during their March meeting. Essentially, was that a plan approved? What was discussed here at the most recent meeting and what happened?
At the most recent meeting, it needed to be brought up because when we had our February meeting, we actually had 9 supervisors missing from the board meeting. Mm. And since this is spending money, it takes 2/3 of the members elect. So effectively, the 9 people who weren't there were no votes. So we didn't get the 22 votes we needed the first go around. So one of the persons who voted against it brought it back. Mm. We brought the folks from Venture and Samuels in to give a little presentation so that the board knew more of what we had seen. And then it passed overwhelmingly, actually.
Gotcha. And what do the next steps now look like here now that it has been brought up, approved by the county board? What does the county now do moving forward now that this has been approved?
Yeah, it's pretty much in Venture's hands at this point, but they, I believe they're planning a kickoff meeting, which would be supervisors, department heads, and then there will be, even at the kickoff meeting, it's open to the public, but there will be public input on what the public thinks we need for buildings and services that they want to continue. The buildings are just a tool in providing the services that we need. Yeah. So, then they will go through all that, and the Samuels part of it then, after the architects put plans together, is to provide what they think are realistic costs for all the different options.
Yeah, and obviously when that process comes up there, you start looking at being able to pay the funding mechanisms to be able to pay these projects. And we mentioned off air that a big part of this is the capital improvements plan that is essentially kind of a forecast of projects that the county needs to do and be able to make sure that those are budgeted for. And obviously every project that will come up, a rare time we will see that every single project is completed. But is there a hope, or what is the county looking at hoping to achieve with updating their buildings? Obviously, community input will be a major part of this process, but is it a refresh of as many buildings as possible, or what's kind of the hope there?
Yeah, we are evaluating every building in the county, including highway shops. The only one that we're not putting a deep dive in is Clearview, because it's fairly new.
Is it the newest county building, or is there more recent ones?
Yeah, there's a couple of highway shops that are newer.
Gotcha.
But even some of the space in Clearview, we aren't clear full right now because we aren't able to staff. And so we are changing, doing some changes in households there to be able to take more behavior health unit folks and it saves money for for different human services departments. We can take some folks that aren't at the level that they have to go to Winnebago or Mendota.
Yeah.
But they do need more than just nursing home. And we can take those at a much lower cost than Winnebago and Mendota, which helps our human services and lot of the communities around us.
You mentioned just briefly there staffing, and that is another topic we'll I'd like to dive into here, just in our, most likely our next segment here, and just talk about recruitments and retentions efforts there at the county level. But before we take our break here during our second segment of Community Comment today, I just want to very briefly touch on really another broad scope of a project plan that the county has been undertaking for the last couple of months now, and that's the 2045 Comprehensive Plan. It's not really looking to facilities. Chairman, what exactly does that plan look to do and achieve for the county?
Yeah, it's a 20-year look ahead, which hindsight's always a lot better than. but we have to do it in 20 years, and we're doing it now again. But it's a plan on how all the towns, the cities, villages, and the county can work together on providing services. Where can we get efficiencies? There's a lot of zoning issues there. Where do we want growth? Where is it most efficient? And what can we do to get people to stay in Dodge County? Come to Dodge County, and we need to keep our young people here. We don't want the quote brain drain.
Yeah.
And so we need to have housing. We need to have the amenities that the that young folks want to stay in Dodge County.
Right. Yeah. And there's been a lot of community input throughout this process, yes, as well. A number of different surveys have gone out to gauge public opinions on certain efforts that would be important to them, maybe not as important to them. And is this a comprehensive plan? Is this still essentially being drafted or built? I know there's information that people can look up on the Dodge County website that they can get more information. But will a final version of this comprehensive plan then be written and put together and then published online?
Yes, it will. I'm not as involved as this, in this one, but we've had the open houses at the county where lots of ideas were there. People could put their post-it notes on the different. I like this. I need this. Or so it was got a lot of good information. We have a consulting firm that does these, that's putting all that information together, and then it will be finalized.
Great. And with the master plan, just quickly going back to that, is that something that as well, will there be any documents online that people can review and check out as well?
Absolutely. As they're doing, I think we will have a report to the county board and probably the building committee each month from as they're going through. So
great. Fantastic. Again, our guest here, Dodge County Board Chairman Dave Froehling on Community Comment. We do have to take another break here on our program, where Community Comment is coming up next.
Hey, honey, do we have any glue?
Look under the stack of pictures you were going to frame for me.
Hey, Mom, what's going on in the basement?
Your dad's trying to make a picture frame for your math club award.
Does he know how to make a picture frame?
I guess we'll soon find out.
What was that?
I don't even want to know.
All finished. What do you think?
Wow, Dad, a trapezoid. Not a single right angle anywhere.
If you want to preserve it, frame it at McKinstry's Home Furnishings. McKinstry's can frame anything. Graduation pictures, wedding pictures, family portraits, christening gowns, sports jerseys, awards, diplomas, and more. Preserve your special items to last a lifetime with the picture frame department at McKinstry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam.
Now, where were those pictures you wanted framed?
That's okay, honey. I think I'll just take them to McKinstry's.
The best place to hear your favorite song is in a bed from Slumberland Furniture. There's plenty of great music in here at the Slumberland Furniture Studio on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump is set to announce sweeping new tariffs that are predicted to have a huge impact on consumers and the economy. ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce has more.
After weeks of uncertainty and anxiety, in just hours here, President Trump is finally set to unveil his most aggressive tariffs yet. He says they will restore fairness to the global trading system and ultimately grow the U.S. economy. But economists warn American consumers will pay the price.
Dow futures down 329 points this hour. Democrats winning a hotly contested race in Wisconsin for an open seat on the state's highest court. Elon Musk spent millions trying to get people to vote for the conservative, the race the most expensive judicial election in U.S. history. Tesla sales dropped 13% in the first quarter as backlash against Elon Musk and the age of older models hurt demand for the EVs. Severe thunderstorms threatening to hit parts of the Midwest and South today, potentially deadly flash flooding, strong winds, and hail expected. This is ABC News.
Award-winning news you can count on. WBEV.
This news update is brought to you by Richards Insurance. Visit Richards Insurance in Beaver Dam, Columbus, Oshkosh, Watertown, and West Bend, or online at richardsinsurance.com.
Yesterday was spring general election day in Wisconsin. In statewide races, Susan Crawford defeated Brad Schimmel for a 10-year term on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Incumbent Jill Underlie defeated Brittany Kinzer for superintendent of public instruction. A proposed constitutional amendment regarding the state's voter ID law was approved. There were several contested town and village board as well as city races this year, but not in Beaver Dam. All odd number districts in the city were up for re-election on the Common Council, and none were contested. The incumbents in each district were re-elected. A rundown of the election results is at dailydodge.com. In Dodge County school board races, there were four people vying for three open seats on the Beaver Dam School Board. All three incumbents were re-elected, Chad Prevey, Mary Kuntz, and Isaac Dornfield. Steve Rajewski finished fourth. A recap of local contested school board races is at dailydodge.com. A number of local school districts had operational referendum questions on the ballot during Tuesday's election. Waupun's $900,000 question was approved by voters. A full recap of area results is at dailydodge.com. There were just over 31,000 ballots cast in Dodge County during yesterday's spring election. Dodge County Clerk Danielle Van Egtern says that equates to about 61.9% of the population. Van Egtern notes that operations went smoothly throughout the evening and no issues arose. And finally, the Beaver Dam Community Library recently received a large donation towards their next chapter renovation project. The Beaver Dam Community Hospitals Foundation gave $125,000 grant to the children's area. The children's area and play space will include items such as sensory materials, active play equipment, manipulative toys, dolls, and dramatic play materials, books, recordings, and art materials. More information about the next chapter renovation project is at dailydodge.com. I'm Justin Wilski reporting from the Daily Dodge News Center. Submit your news tips at dailydodge.com.
Configuring the Bluetooth. Deciding who controls the music. Remembering where you parked. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your vehicle doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things, like remembering if you're on the third or fourth level of the parking garage. That's simple human sense.
Visit Richards Insurance in Beaver Dam, Columbus, Oshkosh, Watertown, and West Bend, or online at richardsinsurance.com. News has been brought to you by Richards Insurance. Visit them in Beaver Dam, Oshkosh, Columbus, West Bend, and Watertown, or online at richardsinsurance.com.
Chance of thunderstorms today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 58. Southeasterly winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight. Slight chance of thunderstorms. Lows around 36. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 47. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Right now, 37.
Step into a world so fine. Shiny floors that truly shine. Tiles and wood you'll adore. Get it all at Professional Floor. Showers, blinds, counters too. Everything just like brand new. They've got what you're looking for. Only here at Professional Floor.
Okay, full disclosure, we still don't sing here, but since I've got the mic, let me drop some knowledge. At Professional Floor Covering, we've got the best brands and styles for every project. Whether you're looking for cabinets, blinds, flooring, or more, we're here to make your home look amazing. Check out our showroom to explore our wide range of luxury vinyl plank flooring. Need a bathroom makeover? We've got custom marble and ceramic showers and countertops to elevate your space. And if you're thinking kitchen upgrade, our cabinet and porcelain tile selection is top-notch. Take a look online at proflr.com and stop in to visit us at 713 Park Avenue. Time to hand the mic back. Providing this community beautiful floors and so much more, the team at Professional Floor Covering can't wait to connect with our friends through today's community comment on 95.3 WBAV, powered by Daily Dodge.
It's 10:36 on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Today's community comment is brought to you by McKinstry's Home Furnishings. You can check them out at McKinstry'sHomeFurnishings.com. They have, of course, excellent picture framing services. McKinstry's Home Furnishings stocks a large selection of picture frame moldings and conservation mattings and glass. This ensures prompt and proper professional framing of your needlework, family photos, wedding pictures, oil paintings, wildlife prints, and award certificates. They even framed a guitar. Best of all, you'll be amazed at the low everyday prices. Let McKinstry's sales designers help you select just the right frame and matting to enhance the beauty of your artwork as well as your home. Take the frameable pieces to McKinstry's Home Furnishings. You'll be very happy you did. Of course, you can find McKinstry's Home Furnishings in downtown Beaver Dam on Front Street under the red awning. Again, their website is McKinstry'sHomeFurnishings.com. And you're listening again today here on Community Comment with Dodge County Board Chairman Dave Froehling, our guest here today. The phone number to get into the program again, 885-4446. You can text 887-9595 if you have a question for Dodge County Board Chairman Dave Froehling. And Dave, want to spend a few minutes here during our third segment today here on Community Comment talking about really not just an issue that Dodge County is facing. I mean, you look everywhere. This is something that this is counties, you know, businesses and, you know, a company everywhere are dealing with similar issues. And that's really employee recruitment and keeping, you know, employee retention and keeping quality staff in the door and bringing in quality staff, make sure, you know, Dodge County people are working in Dodge County. That's also very important and an effort that the folks at the Dodge County level are very focused on and making sure that happens. Dave, just talk us through the last couple of years. I know COVID has really impacted a lot of this too. You know, I hear a couple of years post COVID, we're still talking about it, but just where is Dodge County now here in 2025 when it comes to staffing levels and bringing in employees to the county level?
Yeah. I'll talk about a couple of different things. One is recruitment at Clearview to bring people in, and we've worked with the State Department and hiring agencies to bring in Filipino workers.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it's we've got a fairly significant group approved, and they're all trained over there and speak English and do very well. Problem is they put a moratorium on how many visas, and now we're competing with Japan is paying more money for the Filipinos to go there than we are. So, but I think that's still a part of what the staffing level will help.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but that is a program that's offered in similar counties. Is that what I remember correctly?
Yes.
That's, you saw similar counties do.
Yeah, Barron County has done it successfully. A couple other counties at a smaller level. We put in for 96. I think we will get 32 in the first group. Mm-hmm. But it's they're not here yet, and we were hoping that they would be by now.
Yeah, and this is something that's been discussed for a while now. I remember you bringing this up a year or so ago,
right,
at Economic Luncheon here. I believe that was held in Beaver Dam not too last year, and just talking about this. And yeah, it's still these processes are slow. It's something that takes a while to get off the ground.
Yeah, and it's all government approved, federal government approved, and it's part of their plan to have planned immigration. So, the other thing is we have a couple. We have the first one here, and a couple more coming. Refugees from Ukraine. The first one's here, very hard worker, but English issues. So they got to be able to pass the CNA tests here, and it's only done in English, and so it needs to. They need to work on it, but we have some help coming that way. Other areas that are have been a concern. We have Cameron hired, so we're almost 2 years into that now. But as the county administrator, finance director has been an issue. We hired that did not necessarily work out, so we are back in the market for that. Between the fact that we don't have the finance director and now our IT director has moved on to Walworth County, it allows us to tweak the job descriptions and allow us to hopefully acquire a more multifaceted candidate that will be able to help us in a wider area. That would allow us then to consolidate some departments, hopefully become more efficient, less people at the management level and more people that are customer facing. So that's our focus right now is going that way.
And that and that recruitment component, that's not an easy thing to do because obviously there are other openings and you're competing with aggressive salary bonuses and other counties that may be having other bonuses or other incentives to have them apply and go there for jobs. So that certainly makes things definitely challenging to fill these important roles in the county. You mentioned finance director. That's something that the county is currently looking at filling. They will start the process for IT director going through and looking at replacing that role here pretty soon. And there's been a couple of turnover when it comes to top-level positions here at the Dodge County Board. You mentioned Cameron Clapper, who replaced Jim Milkey as Dodge County Administrator. Now, is it 2 years we're coming up on here?
Two years
of him in the role there, and we saw the county clerk, Karen Gibson, longtime Dodge County clerk. She resigned or retired here last year, and now Danielle Van Echtern has stepped into that role. We also saw that with the Dodge County Treasurer position. So there's been a lot of longtime institutional knowledge that Dodge County has had at those positions that has turned over, and now you welcome in new faces, new people, and it's something we mentioned off air. Everybody does things differently, and county is such the county level is such an important thing to run at a there's so many departments, there's a lot of people, so when you have that turnover, there's that little bit of getting used to how people do things and how they communicate with one another, and the county has had to work through that process quite a bit here in the last couple of years.
Everybody's skill set is different. In our role as county board chair and Cameron as the administrator now is to understand what the strengths of the employees that we have and then build around that with people with different strengths. So we don't have two people that are fantastic in economic development and nobody that figures out a budget. It just doesn't. You got to have people with varied skill sets, and so that's what we're trying to do. And that's one of the things with the opportunities with two key people gone at this point to maybe tweak that and consolidate some departments and make communication easier between departments.
Yeah, and obviously maybe this is something that cannot answer as we sit here today, but is there a deadline or a time frame that you want these two positions filled, or is it we're just starting out? We don't know yet as we sit here today.
Well, obviously we wanted the finance director filled earlier.
Yeah.
The tweaking the positions, we're hoping will allow us to have somebody in the next 60 days.
Okay. Yeah. And with IT directors, that obviously...
Yeah. Some of that would fold together. We have great staff in the IT department. Kevin Nikolsky is taking over as the lead for now. And so I'm pretty confident that IT will be... status quo, moving forward, everything's a go.
Yeah,
even though the director has left,
so. Moving into different jobs, it's in good hands. When that departure takes place, and again, hopefully those the key roles can be filled here in the short interim here. And our guest here today on Community Comment, Dodge County Board Chairman Dave Froehling. We do have to take another break. More Community Comment is coming up next.
Hi everybody, Jeff Hall here. If you love polka music and you enjoy listening to The Barn Show, you're invited to celebrate all things polka at Linda McCollum's Polka Fest. This event will take place on Thursday, April 3rd at the Bayside Supper Club in Beaverdam from 4:30 till 6:30. A buffet-style dinner will be served, including chicken wings, pastas, and a full salad bar for $16.99. Half of all proceeds will go to the Good Karma Brand's John Moser Children's Radiothon. Reservations are appreciated. Catch yours truly, broadcasting The Barn Show live from 5 till 6. There will be a raffle table and some great prizes that Linda McCollum will be giving away every half hour. All of the proceeds from the raffle will go to Good Karma Brand's John Moser Children's Radiothon. Happy Hour will feature Uncle Bill and my favorite cocktail. So get on out to the Bayside Supper Club on Thursday, April 3rd from 4:30 to 6:30. Reserve your spot by calling Saturday Night Mike at 920-887-05.
Slide into great deals now at Beaver Dam Food Pride. Score with gourmet game day slider patties for $5.99 per pound and Grandpa's homemade brewer brats for $3.99 per pound. Granny's Deli and Bakery has burger, brat, and hot dog buns for $2.99. And South of the Border trays for $6.99 a pound. Plus, Frito-Lay Tostitos or Ruffles chips and dips are only $3.49. Hit it out of the park with Miller or Coors 30 packs of cans for the lowest legal price, just $22.49. Swing by Beaver Dam Food Pride today.
Could there be a better name? Auto Value Parts Stores. They aren't just about air fresheners or fuzzy dice. Auto Value Parts Stores are all about parts, auto parts, and advice. Pros who know auto parts with tons of tips when you need them the most. You want real value? Don't go to a place with a cute name. Go to Auto Value. Could there be a better name? I didn't think so. Your Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts, we've got the smarts.
Good goes beyond the sub. Join Jersey Mike's Wednesday, April 2nd in support of the Beaver Dam High School Green and Gold Scholarship Night. They will be graciously donating 50% of sales for the fundraiser. Stop by and enjoy some great subs while helping Jersey Mike support the worthy cause. Again, that's the Beaver Dam High School Green and Gold Scholarship Fundraiser Night at Jersey Mike's in Beaver Dam at 106 Francis Lane. See you there from 4 to 7 p.m. on April 2nd.
Don't wait. Continue your orthopedic care today. For years, Dodge County has trusted Marshfield Medical Center Beaver Dam Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Now's the time to see why. We've expanded services, making it easier for you to get the care you need when you need it. Diagnosis, treatment, recovery. We're here for you. Marshfield Medical Center Beaver Dam Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Request your appointment at ortho.marshfieldclinic.org.
They keep you informed on the Dodge County landscape. We keep the inside of your home looking great. Professional Floor Covering welcomes you to the next segment of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Welcome back into Community Comment here on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge and streaming on Daily Dodge TV. Our guest here on the program today is Dodge County Board Chairman Dave Froehling. We're in talking about a lot of recent happenings on the county level. We talked a bit about the master plan, an update on the comprehensive plan. We took a little dive into employee recruitment at the county level. Now in our Last segment here of our program today, we'd like to talk about, obviously with employee recruitment, another component of that is making sure they have a place to live and have good options for housing available. So we want to spend this last segment here on Community Common talking about the Dodge County Housing Authority. They're really the ones that are involved in making sure that things are moving forward and there's housing options open and available for those here in Dodge County. And I'm not really doing a great job of explaining, but I will turn it over to the expert here, and maybe more than I am. But essentially, what does the Housing Authority do? How do they operate here in the county?
Yeah, I'm not far enough away from home to be an expert.
So, fair enough. So,
the Housing Authority is countywide, but it's not a county board-controlled authority. They have their own board. Yeah. We have a representative on their board, but we work closely with them. They do some low-income housing. They do a lot of income-based housing, so the working people are able to find housing. Projects that we are in the midst of, we just opened duplexes and housing right across from Dodgeland School. It's called Sunset View. There's 30 units there. We're about half full right now. It takes a process to get everything through, but we planned to be full by the end of May with all of those. We have a waiting list, and it's just working through. Yeah. What we're still working on is the project in Lowell, which is a 10-unit housing project with daycare embedded.
Wow.
And it's kind of a unique program. I know that we've done a lot of the legwork. Donna Brown at the Housing Authority has been working very hard on this, and to the point where once we're done, that's assuming we're going to get it done, that they're already asking us to try to replicate in other areas of the state. So we're on the cutting edge here. There'll be 45 slots for daycare. And the idea is that we get this built with some grants, donations from businesses. We put some ARPA funds to it. We got a grant from Watertown Community Health Foundation. And we were down to some kind of bridge funding, which was going to be congressional directed spending, better known as earmarks, doesn't look like it's going to come through for this year, even though it was proposed, and they just haven't funded it. But they've asked us to resubmit for next year. But we've worked around a plan to get funding as a loan to get this up off the ground and break dirt shortly. It'll be unique in that we are providing low to no interest rent for the daycare. It'll be a private operator, but the part of that is then that they have to, because they don't have to pay rent or a mortgage, they can pay more to their staff, so they can obtain the staff and hopefully lower cost to the folks who need the daycare. But there's a lot of good things working there. Folks that helped donate land.
Sure. Yeah.
And so there's been a lot of good things coming out of it.
That's exciting. I know that providing child care services is such an important component to a lot of working families nowadays. And that's, we've had experts on here, talk about how Dodge County is really becoming a desert when it comes to being able to offer child care services, and just that how important that is. That there's the child care counts, I believe, is the mm-hmm. program that's essentially up to end here in June. That's provided a lot of support to area businesses. But that is exciting that those two components are coming together, the need for housing and the need for childcare there in Lowell. And is that housing there, is that like an apartment complex or duplexes, single family? How is that?
They're duplexes.
Duplexes?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And that ground has not been broken yet from what I understand it. So is there... Is the funding component, is that what the gap needs to close?
We had to change some things around because of the congressional directed spending was tied to the child care. Mm-hmm. And so we need to reallocate the funds that we have. And but we hope to break ground within the next 2 weeks.
Oh, that's exciting. So on the horizon here to see that project.
We're going
to
be close.
Getting going here. And was that something that Linda Braun sort of, how did the efforts come to see this?
Donna
Braun. Thank you.
Yeah, yes. Donna Braun.
Donna Braun from the Housing Authority.
From the Housing Authority. Been working on it with her board, with the state, and Community Health Foundation in Watertown. Really spurred things along. Mm-hmm. The site in Juneau, they donated.
Wow.
So we didn't have land costs.
Did the city donate it or a private?
No, privately Community owned. Health Foundation owned
they
it.
They own the land. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was given to them years ago by an estate to for healthcare in Juneau. So they do have their clinic there, but then they had the extra land. And so it's been a great partnership.
Fantastic. And is there, obviously you mentioned shovels hopefully in the ground here in the next couple of weeks. Is that helping, is there a window for when that project can be completed by, or is that weather dependent?
A lot of factors. But I would hesitate to put a date because we've had some holdups already.
What a G-sit at this point.
But we have the builders all ready to go and all of that. So I would hope that this summer the child care part will be ready.
Fantastic. Now, is there... has the county seen other areas of the county that are looking at other spots for potential housing projects or anything that they're hoping to get off the ground here?
We've developed kind of a similar to a revolving loan fund but it's a more of a grant from the county to different municipalities. We just started that. I just heard this. Just found out this morning that we have our first request.
Oh, that's exciting.
So that's hopefully going to be successful, and we can make some headway helping cities and villages with what the last step is to get a project going.
Fantastic, and I'm sure we'll hear updates and hopefully get more updates about the housing project. The housing project in Lowell, does that have an official name yet, or is that not at that process?
No, I don't think it's been named.
Okay, so I just don't want to keep referring it to as the Lowell Housing Project, but I'm sure we'll get more updates from Donna Braun when that process. She invited us out to the Juneau. Across from the Dodgeland project, which was great to be able to be there. To see
yeah,
that
Wally was there, and
that's right. Wally was on scene reporting for us and got there, so I'm sure we'll be on scene as well when that Lowell housing project is completed, and we'd love to report that project being completed. But we are quickly running out of time here on Community Comment today. I want to thank again our guests here for joining us on the program this morning, Dodge County Board Chairman Dave Froehling. Dave, thank you again so much for coming on Community
Comment. You're welcome. Appreciate the opportunity.
And that will do it for today's Community Comment.